Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Swinging along with the left. That's a grand slam.
You bet!
This is Sports Open Live. On America's Sports Voice.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
KMOX.
Sports Open Line does roll on here on KMOX. I'll tell you what, so the side story of what's gone on throughout the program this evening is we had Dan Zimborski on, and he called the wrong St. Louis radio station. So evidently he was on another station in St. Louis where that station just thought he was like a caller calling in, and now Dan is on a Twitter search to figure out who he was on with before he came on with us. So we are monitoring that situation on social media as we do continue on with the program. But right now, we're happy to be able to go back to the guest line. Big football weekend coming up, AFC and NFC championship weekend. I'm not saying anything that's unique or creative or new or something that other people don't already say, but this is the best football weekend of the year where you get two Super Bowl caliber games without all the other stuff that goes along with the Super Bowl. So to talk all things football, we bring in Mike Tenier, senior analyst with Football Outsiders. You follow him on Twitter at Mike, T-A-N-I-E-R. Mike, thanks so much for your time. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm getting really ready for some football, though.
It's going to be a fun weekend. Which of the two games are you most excited about?
Well, I'm based here in Philadelphia, PA, Greater Philly anyway, Southern New Jersey, and I'm a lifelong Eagles fan. So while we have to be objective and we have to be non-biased, I'm looking forward to that Eagles 49ers game.
We had you on, I don't know, 2-3 months ago, and I asked you about which teams and which coaches out there are best when it comes to using analytics and data, and you specifically mentioned the Philadelphia Eagles. Doing what you do, do you almost kind of root for them, not because of your rooting interest, but because they're maybe kind of like-minded with what you guys do and the way that they view football?
I'll do this. I'll say this. Sometimes I discover that teams have hired like friends or hired people that I know who came up through the ranks. It's always exciting to root for a team that has somebody working for them that I know or that I've worked with in the past and respect, and that's part of it. Another part of it is teams that follow analytics tend to do things like go for two more on fourth and one, run the sneak or go for it or not punt. So a lot of times it's not just I'm rooting for analytics and for analytics mindedness. It's a more fun, exciting breed of football. You don't want to watch punts. You want to see fourth and two. Let's run the sneak. Let's go for it. That's what's exciting about football. So I don't think it's just me that roots for analytics. It's like everybody except, I guess, Troy Aikman roots for the analytics because it makes for a more interesting game.
Okay, so you know what? That's interesting. And I'm a baseball guy. I do Cardinals pre-post here in St. Louis. And in many ways, when you apply analytics and data to baseball, it makes the game more boring, not as aesthetically pleasing. Yet in football, when you apply it, it makes it more entertaining. I've never even thought about it comparing those two things till just now, but it's kind of interesting to look at it that way.
The fact that my boss Aaron Schatz says that all the time, you know, when people say analytics ruin baseball, they've got a point because it's a bunch of guys just taking pitches, fouling off pitches, waiting for the walk or the home run, and that's not really good football. And I think basketball is similar, where everybody's just trying to launch threes, get open for three-pointers. I think that's analytics. by sheer luck in football, it means, you know, a more aggressive style of play, and it generally means a more fun style of play.
Does Jalen Hurts get the credit he deserves as a quarterback?
Well, he is one of the finalists for the MVP award, so it's not that bad. He's up for a player, the offensive player of the year. He's up for MVP. There is a weird attitude, though, that we always have to say, yes, but look at the offensive line. Yes, but look at the receivers. Hey, that's great. You can say that about the Buffalo Bills, too. You can say that about the Kansas City Chiefs. Hurts has done a tremendous job this year, and if you really follow his career year after year, going back to when he transferred, Oklahoma, Alabama, et cetera, he got better every single year, better as a passer, better as a decision maker, and we're seeing the fruition of that this year with all the things he can do on the field for the Philadelphia Eagles.
On the other side of that game, how much credit should Kyle Shanahan and the entire 49ers organization get for figuring out a way to put out a really good defense on an every-game basis and then go through a few quarterbacks and still be able to do enough offensively with some unique pieces to get to the spot where they're at right now?
It's absolutely stunning, and I'm shocked that other teams don't look at Shanahan, and they certainly do hire his assistants, so that does happen. But teams will look at this and say, how can we quarterback-proof our offense? How can we quarterback-proof our team and build through getting, you know, the Christian McCaffreys and the Debos and the George Kittles and the Nick Boses and the Arik Armsteads, and we can go on, the Fred Warners? How do we do that? It seems like, you know, on the one hand, every team should be imitating that so they can grab a quarterback in the seventh round or the third round or grab a Geno Smith or whatever. And yet the draft's going to come. And what are we going to hear in the draft? You know, this team's trading up for Bryce Young. This team's trading up for CJ Stroud. This team's giving two first round picks for Aaron Rodgers. Who knows? What Shanahan and Lynch and the 49ers have done should be a template for other teams, and it's shocking that it hasn't been.
Okay, I want to push back on you a little bit, though, because it's not that I disagree with what you just said, but at the same time, it does seem like more teams get to the highest. The Bengals get to where they're at because of Joe Burrow. The Chiefs get to where they're at because of Patrick Mahomes. In many ways, it feels like if you can get that franchise quarterback, and it's a big if, that's the easier path.
You would think that, and for those teams, that's great. And then the Jets get to be the Jets by always going after that quarterback, et cetera. Now, the Jaguars, now it looks like they've got it in Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. Do we remember Blaine Gabbert? Do we remember Blake Bortles? Yeah, all the times along the way. So, you know, sometimes we see the failures, we see the successes, and we forget that there were 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 failures along the way. If you're not in position to pick in the top five and get Trevor Lawrence and get somebody like that, maybe the answer is, let's go find a Debo Samuel and a Fred Warner and an Arik Armstead, and then we can win with a Garoppolo or a Brock Purdy.
Yeah, that's the great point in all this, and it requires you to have a bunch of smart people going and getting a bunch of, because you get that big quarterback, well, there's a little bit less pressure on who you put around him, where from a San Francisco standpoint, you name all those players, they needed almost every single one of them to do what they're doing.
Exactly. But, you know, you can go out generally and find the linebackers. There's very good linebackers, very good receivers, good running backs in the draft. You can collect those pieces along the way. Whereas in a typical draft, you don't know 1, 2, 3 quarterbacks, and they could be scattered among guys who look like sure things and aren't. And there's one other component of this is that Joe Burrow is on his rookie contract, does not cost a lot of money. Jalen Hurts on his rookie contract does not cost a lot of money. There's a sudden increase where you only have that 3 or 4 years before you are paying a quarterback $40 million. You don't necessarily have that if you built your team around the linebackers and the receivers. There are guys wanting money, but not one guy who takes up 30% of your salary cap, et cetera. So, you know, each way has its merits. You know, I think that's what it boils down to. The fallacy there is, oh, if we don't have a quarterback, let's wait and wait and wait and do nothing until we get the quarterback. That's the fallacy.
Mike Denier, Football Outsiders, continuing to join us. Let's jump over to the other one, the AFC Championship game with the Chiefs and the Bengals. It's been interesting watching the point spread on this one, because at one point Cincinnati was a 2.5-point favorite. I think Kansas City's a 1-point favorite. It all seems to be dependent upon Patrick Mahomes' high ankle.
Yes, and right now the spread in the last 12, 13 hours, it's almost like watching a hurricane. Like, you have to get an update every hour or two on where the spread is. It is really stabilized at Chiefs -1, and I think that means that the house thinks that Mahomes has stabilized, that he'll play, and he'll be not 0%, not 100%, but probably something better than 50%. And what it boils down to with Patrick Mahomes is if he's hobbling around out there, then I think the Bengals are the favorite. If he's out there and he can plant that foot, he does not have to be able to scramble all over creation and do some of those miraculous plays. But if he can plant that foot and throw accurately 10 to 20 to 25 yards down the field, then he lets the Chiefs be the Chiefs. And if the Chiefs can be the Chiefs, it's going to be another one of those shootouts between these two teams.
How impressive is it just the consistency we've seen from the Chiefs of basically at least being in the AFC Championship game almost every year?
It is stunning. And, of course, I think what we're thinking about is they lose Tyreek Hill, who looked like somebody who really, really turbocharged that offense, and he did, and made them special. And they replace him with, you know, a battery of guys, with Juju Smith-Schuster and Sky Moore and Marquise Valdes-Scantling, and they keep doing the same things. And really, if you look at the consistency, that's across the career of Andy Reid, too. You look at Andy Reid, went out there in the Philadelphia Eagles, did those things with Donovan McNabb, got back to the playoffs with Jeff Garcia, got back to the playoffs with Michael Vick, got to the playoffs with the Chiefs with Alex Smith. Obviously, Mahomes, Kelsey, these are special players, Chris Jones, but the coaching of Andy Reid and the way he puts the structure of that organization together is where you get this team that always seems to be, at the very least, second round, usually AFC Championship round of the playoffs.
I mentioned it earlier. I love the way you guys look at football. I think it's great for fans who want to dive in a little bit. It's football outsiders. For people listening to this right now, especially, again, you're on in St. Louis. This is a very baseball-savvy audience that you're talking to. When they go see what you guys do at Football Outsiders, how different are they going to see the game?
I think they'll see it a lot different. If they're baseball savvy, they're probably sabermetric savvy, and they know about things like wins above replacement and VORP and things like that. Football Outsiders, we have DVOA and DER. They're similar to VORP. They're similar to WAR. Designed by Aaron Schatz, who was the Bill James of football, put these things together 20 years ago. And what you'll find is, at first, they might just look like power ratings, but then you can dig deep and say, they're power ratings for third down. They're power ratings for first down. They're power ratings for the red zone, for goal line, for the fourth quarter, for late and close situations. So you can break the game down situationally and really figure out why teams are winning and losing on a very fundamental and granular level.
Mike, thank you so much for your time. Always appreciate being able to talk football with you, and I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Absolutely. Take care and enjoy the games.
That is Mike Denier joining us here on Sports Open Line on KMOX. We appreciate him taking a couple moments with us this evening. We're going to go back-to-back football interviews as Mike Mitchell is going to join us in just a moment. Somebody that you read at FanSided covers the NFL, but also as we get towards the XFL season, Mitchell is somebody who covers that league as well. So we'll keep the football portion of our program rolling along. It's Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Open Line does continue here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. As always, if you want to chime in, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. If you want to tweet at me, you can do so at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. Right now, very happy to welcome on somebody that covers really all levels of football. We can talk NFL with him. We can also talk about the XFL as we're going to have the Battle Hawks back very, very soon. He is Mike Mitchell. You follow him on Twitter at @ByMikeMitchell. Mike, thanks so much for taking some time. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much, Matt, for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. Let's start with NFL. Which game are you most looking forward to this weekend? It feels like it's going to be a really good weekend of NFL football.
No question about it. I feel like these are the four best teams in the NFL. That isn't always the case when we get to conference championship week. I have fascination with both matchups. I think the Niners and the Eagles, from a strategy, football strategy standpoint, fascinates me in terms of how the Niners match up with the Eagles and how they're going to play that defense. You know, so the Chiefs and the Bengals is great too. I mean, anytime you have Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow, two dynamic quarterbacks going head to head, I have a feeling we're going to see a lot more of those matchups in the next few years with those two teams, who are both going to be Super Bowl contenders because of those two aforementioned players. So I think there's a lot of intrigue in both the games because it's one of those years where it's legitimately, in my opinion, I know some Buffalo Bills fans might be upset about this, but I feel that these are the four best teams in the National Football League. And so it's fitting that they're meeting up this weekend.
I had Mike Tenier on from Football Outsiders just before we had you on, and we were talking about the point spread for that AFC Championship game, and it's been all over the place. It's been Cincinnati favored by 2.5. Now it's Kansas City favored by a point. Like, and obviously there's a lot up in the air when it comes to Patrick Mahomes' ankle, but it really feels like that's dictating so much of what's going to happen in that game.
And no question about it, man. When you look at it, too, you know, the Bengals, healthy Mahomes or not, they've had Kansas City's number. They beat them early on this regular season. They beat them, obviously, in the AFC Championship last year. Seems like they match up really well with them. And now that you have, you know, there's a question of whether how effective Patrick Mahomes is going to be this coming Sunday. I know there's talks that he's not limping and all that. So we'll see. But the Bengals, pound for pound, match up very well with Kansas City. So normally you would figure KC would be not an overwhelming favorite in the AFC Championship game, but it wouldn't be in a situation where they could potentially even be considered an underdog in this game. So it's a fascinating matchup for both teams. They've reached a point, Kansas City, this is what happens when you have these type of quarterbacks where, you know, the great thing is every year you're Super Bowl contenders, but the negative side, the downside to all that is, you know, the expectation level is disappointment if you don't hoist the trophy. So that's where their two franchises are at. The Bengals are reaching that point where Kansas City's already at, where every year now it's about them hoisting the trophy, winning a championship. So they're trying to get back to the Super Bowl for the second year in a row, and they've got a good chance.
Yeah, so you have those two elite-level quarterbacks in the AFC Championship game. And then the NFC Championship game, you've got a really, really good quarterback in Jalen Hurts, and you got a guy who's just been given an opportunity and hasn't messed up with it in Brock Purdy. In today's NFL, can a Brock Purdy win you a Super Bowl?
You know, that's such a great question. You got to love what he's doing. You know, he's like, oftentimes NFL teams, they overvalue potential over production. And if you look at Brock Purdy's college career, it was Purdy. He was very productive, highly productive at Iowa State. He won a lot of games. He had big games against big teams, but because he doesn't have the dynamic traits, no one expected this from him. And NFL scouts, you know, they labeled him, you know, obviously the last pick in the draft. They thought of him as maybe a backup quarterback at best. So kudos to him for what he's done. Undefeated, obviously. He's in a great system with Kyle Shanahan. So he would shock the world and maybe change the landscape of how the scouting system works in terms of how they value quarterbacks in the draft process. He's done a tremendous job. He's been very calm, and he's not your typical rookie. He's handled the situation very well. He's in a great system surrounded by elite talent. But to his credit, he's done a very good job to this point. He's going to be tested heavily against a very good Eagles defense on the road. So this is quite the challenge for Purdy. But the Niners are very – if you look outside the quarterback position, which is hard to do, the Niners have one of the deepest, most talented overall rosters in the sport. And so they're in a championship game for the second year in a row. That's a testament to that front office and coaching staff, how good they are. But they deserve to be in the position they're in, but – that is quite the challenge for Purdy. He might shake up the world if he were to get to the Super Bowl, for sure.
I love comparing the roster construction of Kansas City to San Francisco, because with Kansas City, you've got Patrick Mahomes, and I'm not trying to dismiss anybody else on that roster, but it almost feels like you can go put anybody there and Mahomes is going to lift their talent. Where in San Francisco, it's kind of the opposite of that. You have such a solid support cast all over the place and dynamic players that can do so many things that group can kind of lift the quarterback.
That's an excellent point. You know, you see that with the Chiefs. So Patrick Mahomes is like the ultimate point guard. He can administer and get the ball to anyone who's open there. And they're not, both those teams that you mentioned are not reliant upon superstar wide receivers. We saw what happened with Mahomes this year without Tyreek Hill, how great he's been. And the Niners are just, they just have perfect role players on their team. They have elite players, Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk's very underrated. Kyle Juszczyk is one of the best football players in the entire league, pound for pound. He's like a complete player, the blocker, a receiver, runner, all that. So, and they have Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan are two of the best offensive coaches in the entire sport, and they have tremendous systems. And so, it's seeing those two, how the roster construction, the front office, how those coaches make those systems work, it's fun to watch.
All right, let's jump over to the XFL. Before we know it, the St. Louis Battlehawks will be back playing. The way they're doing things this time around is a little bit different. They're running operations out of a single site in Texas, and then they'll travel for games on the weekends. Obviously, they're trying to do what they need to do to exist long-term, which is something that spring football hasn't really done. We're seeing the USFL get a second season. That's something that hasn't happened in a while. But what's your initial thoughts on what this version of the XFL is going to look like and how successful it can be versus either of the previous two versions, but certainly the last version of it?
You know, you wonder if lightning can strike twice with the XFL. 3 years ago, they really did a great job of connecting with these markets. But a big part of the XFL success in 2020 was St. Louis. I mean, I was talking to Patrick Rufano, who covers the St. Louis Battlehawks exclusively for XFLNewsHub.com, and we were talking about how St. Louis and the XFL were a perfect marriage 3 years ago. It's two entities that were out to prove that they belonged in the pro football landscape. And St. Louis, as you know, is highly motivated to prove that they deserve a pro football team and that they are a great pro football town. So in these types of leagues, these new leagues, and I've covered them and followed them for a long time, it's very difficult because you're starting from scratch to get dedicated fan bases and to get cities interested in your teams, because a lot of times the type of crowds and the type of interest you draw is casual in nature. You got people who don't know the players. It takes time to build up a dedicated fan base. But St. Louis, right out the gate, was fully invested, and they were fully immersed. And so that made the XFL a stronger league. You wonder if they can, you know, ticket sales are going well. Obviously, the Battlehawks don't have their first game until week four, so you take a little time before they're in the dome there in front of their home crowd. And, you know, you wonder if they can match that same level of success that they had 3 years ago, because it was pretty magical what St. Louis and XFL had going, unfortunately, before COVID shut everything down.
You know, you're right. And the other side of that, too, is St. Louis now has a Major League Soccer franchise, the InCity SC, that's going into its first year. So in many ways, the Battlehawks will kind of be competing for that as well. When it comes to the new thing in town, there's going to be a couple new things going on at the same time.
Yeah, and so it might be a little bit different on that end. So, I mean, I think the crowd, they're going to draw good crowds, as they should. St. Louis is a tremendous town, definitely deserves a pro football team. Got a raw deal throughout history, it seems. But I think they'll draw well, but it might be a little bit different. I think, to his credit, Anthony Becht has done a very good job. I know it's a different operation. They're not quite in the city. They're still trying to connect. And so we'll see how it goes. But I have no doubt that the Battlehawks will once again lead the league in attendance and they'll have dedicated fans. I just question whether or not, because they were building so much momentum in 2020 to the point where they were, you know, that's the catchphrase now. They want to fill the top in the dome. But they were getting to the point where they were going to sell out, get close to at least 35,000, 40,000 plus in that stadium, which is tremendous for our new league. So we'll see if they can match that. But I do think there'll be interest and that the Battlehawks will do real well from that end.
From a long-term viability standpoint, eventually, and I can ask you this about both the XFL and the USFL, at some point in time, are they eventually going to have to settle down roots in their home markets and not do these things, whether it's playing games like the USFL or just running operations like the XFL, where they really commit fully all the time to their markets? Or is there a business model where they do it this way and it works?
You know, the USFL is trying to make it work by cutting down spending, and that's what they did in year one, and now they're moving into four separate hubs, which is a good thing. But until you're actually in the markets, you know, it's hard for, say, New Jersey Generals fans to care about their team if they're playing in Ohio. So at least the XFL's teams are actually going to play in their cities, even if they are situated throughout the year through in Arlington. But at some point, you know, these leagues have only 8 teams, so the advantage like the NFL has is you've got 32 teams, you've got gambling, you got fantasy. You know, even if you're in St. Louis, you'll watch a game that's between, say, Cincinnati and the Jets or something. Whereas in these leagues, you only have 8 markets that are invested in the league. So you have to be in those cities in order to get the ratings and the attention. So at least the XFL is kind of like halfway there in terms of having all the 8 of their teams play in their cities and their stadiums. And we'll see. I think that's the best way to go about it. Eventually, they have to get into their markets even more so. It may sound crazy, but I actually think, you know, we'll see if both leagues survive. I actually think it's going to work this time. I know that sounds ludicrous considering history, but I actually think that either one or both of these leagues are actually going to make it, because I think it's a different landscape out there in terms of live sports content, the need for it, want for it, and I think these leagues do respectable ratings and attendance, and it's a good concept. It's good for the football landscape. So I do think these leagues, I have a good shot this time.
He is Mike Mitchell. You follow him on Twitter at @ByMikeMitchell. You can read him all over the place, including XFL News Hub. Mike, thank you so much for your time. Hopefully we can get you on here again in the future.
Thank you for your time, Matt. I appreciate it.
Yeah, very good. There's Mike Mitchell joining us here on Sports Open Line, talking all things football, both NFL Conference Championship Weekend and the Battlehawks, which will be getting their season sooner than later. All right, we're going to switch gears. We'll talk some hockey. The Blues are back at tonight. They are in action against the Coyotes in Arizona. What did Craig Berube have to say prior to tonight's game? We'll tell you in just a moment. This is Sports Open Line on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Swing it along with the left. That's a grand slam.
You bet.
This is Sports Open Live on America's Sports Voice.
What's down, Kansas City?
KMOX.
Sports Open Line does continue here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. This has been an eventful evening here at the KMOX studios, and we'll tell you that we've got Monica Adams is going to be hosting At Your Service this evening, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, so you will not want to miss out on that. The Blues are in action this evening. They're going to get started here in about 20 minutes or so. They've got an 8 o'clock game as they're going to match up against the Coyotes. I said this earlier. I hate saying this. I'm not one of those like negative people. I'm not one of those people that takes joy in things going poorly. Like, honestly, like whether it's sports radio, whether it's politics, like in many times there's more interaction and there's more passion and things like that when things are not going well. That's not me. It never will be me. I like it when things are going well. So I'm not happy about my current belief on the St. Louis Blues, where I'm just kind of done with them. And I finally jumped off with what happened between the Chicago and the Buffalo games. Those are for where they were at that time, trying to climb up, trying to get back into playoff contention, playing a couple teams that were not especially good, a couple teams they've had pretty good success against, playing at home, all that stuff. You just can't lose those games. And they lost those games. And that was finally the moment where I said, okay, this might just not be their year. Nonetheless, they are on the road tonight. They are going to take on the Arizona Coyotes. So the Coyotes stadium situation has been, well, not great. They had one arena. They kind of got kicked out of that one. They've had financial issues. Essentially, they're playing in a college hockey arena right now. And Craig Berube spoke with the media earlier today, and he was asked about the conditions, the playing surface, everything of playing at that arena.
It's choppy this morning, but the college team was out there before, so I think they had a good practice. So you got to, you know, it takes a little work to get it back to normal. But I think the ice will be fine tonight. I heard it's good, and I think the atmosphere is going to be great. I mean, when you're in close quarters like that with fans right there, it's a little bit going back to the junior days, you know. Mm-hmm. It seems like a junior rink.
Yeah, it seems about this. Maybe it's the same. Maybe a little small. You know, when you play in Kansas City, yeah. that rink.
Yeah.
There.
So, we're looking forward to it.
I don't know if you saw the one and they had bleachers. That's a student section. Oh, yeah. So you're going to have students yelling at you tonight, Chief. So.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people will be doing some yelling tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're sharing an arena with Arizona State. So it's Mullet Arena, and they are going to be there through at least the 2024-2025 season and maybe 2025-2026. It's a college arena, and college hockey isn't a really big thing here. College hockey is fun. I love college hockey. I have lived in some places that have had really solid college hockey. Generally, college hockey arenas are not exactly fit for NHL teams. So there's about 5,000 seats at this arena, which makes it one-third of the second smallest NHL venue. Right now, the Winnipeg Jets play at a venue at Canada Life Center that has 15,321 seats. And this Arizona State Phoenix Coyotes arena holds about 5,000 people. And at some point in time, the NHL's got to get that figured out in Arizona, whether or not they're going to be able to build a new arena. I guess maybe there's a scenario where they just say, you know what, we can be successful playing in a tiny arena, having a great filled-up crowd every night. Like maybe that's the route they go. I have a hard time believing that's where they would want to go. And whether it's in Arizona or somewhere else, you would think at some point they would want to be playing in a better environment. Speaking of that Arizona team, Craig Berube clearly has respect for what they are doing.
Watching them on tape, you know, they work extremely hard. They got a good structure to the game, and they got some skill over there. But, they're a skating team, and they're going to work. We got to work. We got to be ready to work.
I was looking at their roster last night. They got a young team. I think more than half is 25 or under, and there's a lot of first rounders in on the roster.
Yeah, for sure. They've been picking for a bit here, and they it's young guys have a lot of enthusiasm, and they're gonna work and skate. They're trying to prove what kind of a player they are in the National Hockey League, and so it'll be a tough match.
The lineup is going to look a little bit different right now. Jim Thomas had a bit of a back and forth with Berube about what those lineup changes might look like.
You tweaked the lineup a little bit, Rosen back in today and Tucker out.
Yeah, no real reason. I want to keep him going, both of them going. They played well for us, and I just think Rosen's puck movement is going to help us tonight.
Yeah, and that looks like Levo back in, but you've kind of him and Walker and sometimes Pitlick, you kind of rotate them all in to get them in.
Yeah, I like the line of Achari, Pitlick, and Torpo. It's a good checking line. I like that line for identity purposes, and so that's why I put them back together tonight for the game.
It's nice to have some options. A lot of times this year you've just had to go with who you've had, right?
Yeah, I kept the top two lines together and just kind of mixed and matched the bottom two a little bit, but Levo will go back in, and I think it's a good opportunity for him to give us some good play in the offensive zone, some chances around the net, maybe get a goal, maybe set something up. He's got the ability to do that, so I think it's a good game for him.
On the injury front, some potential good news. Robert Bortuzzo, he was activated off of injured reserve, so that's the good news. However, don't expect to see him on the ice tonight.
I think he's ready to go, though. He told me he is. So, we'll look at getting him in there pretty soon. So it's a little bit more time.
So Blues and Coyotes tonight. Again, they are opening up a three-game trip as they go out west. They're going to match up against the Coyotes this evening, and then they will continue the road trip after that, as they're also going to match up against Colorado coming up on Saturday, and then they'll go to Winnipeg. Speaking of small venues, they'll match up against Winnipeg. They do not play another home game until February 11th. Each year in the NHL, you get like that extended break. Every team gets some time off, and they are going to their extended break this year in season with everything else going on, and obviously All-Star break they won't play between January 30th and February 11th. So they're going to get some time off during that period, and we'll see what happens after that. Again, they're not out of it from a number standpoint. That's what I want to keep saying, that over and over and over. Like if they flip the proverbial switch and just get things going and essentially become another team, they're fine. They can get into postseason position and do so. I wouldn't say easily, but they're only 6 points out of a playoff spot. Calgary is the team that's got Calgary and Colorado, for that matter. They each have 55 points. The Blues have 49 points. They can get back into this thing, but they have to do something that they haven't done pretty much all season long, and that's be much, much, much more consistent. All right, we'll take one more break. We'll come back, and we will wrap up this edition of the program. My name is Matt Pauly. This is Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Swinging along with the left. That's a grand slam.
You bet!
This is Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice.
Kansas City,
KMOX.
Starting to wrap up this edition of Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We are going to make way for At Your Service, getting rolling at 8 o'clock. Monica Adams is going to be hosting this evening, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. So that's going to be coming up here in just a little while. Tomorrow night, SLU basketball, they are in action as they take on Davidson on the road. So we will not have a show tomorrow night. That game is scheduled to tip off at 6 o'clock. So our coverage is going to begin just after 5:45 tomorrow. No Sports Open Line coming up tomorrow night. speaking of Atlantic 10 basketball, there was an interesting situation that happened last night in a game between Loyola Chicago and Duquesne. Middle of the game, all of a sudden, a man in a yellow jacket holding a bag of McDonald's walked onto the basketball floor as the game was going on. And it looked like he was looking for somebody to give food to. Now, turns out this was a social media prank. Duquesne issued a statement that read, quote, "We strive to provide a safe and enjoyable environment for guests and participants at all events on our campus. We also rely on common courtesy and the civility of those in attendance to adhere to the guidelines that are in place. This was a prank planned in advance, done for internet exposure. We determined that the individual was wearing a mic while someone filmed him as he walked onto the court during active play. While the incident may have seemed funny at the time and no harm was done, we are mindful that incidents like this can put players and officials at risk. The university has reviewed its safety protocols and tightened its security measures to ensure conditions for our players and fans are safe and meet the standards for the highest level of competition in college basketball." Got a couple thoughts on this. First off, it's really stupid that we got people walking onto a basketball floor in the middle of the game so they can make a TikTok video. Like, it just, we can't live in this world where everybody's trying to do content creation and make something go viral that you're doing something like that. And I'm going to sound like the get off my lawn guy here, but I mean what I'm about to say. When you are at a public event in the world that we live in, and all of a sudden something like that happens, it is really, really, really uncomfortable. It's really uncomfortable. Now, this is anything but an apples to apples comparison. But I remember one of the most uncomfortable moments that I ever had in my life was it was shortly after 9/11. It was within, I think it was within weeks of 9/11. And I was at the Topeka Performing Arts Center to see George Carlin do stand-up comedy. And let's just say a George Carlin-type performer doesn't show up to the Topeka Performing Arts Center very often. And I remember in the middle of the show, this woman walks onto the stage as Carlin is doing his stand-up. Now, it turns out what it was like a TPAC docent, TPAC, Topeka Performing Arts Center. And she took offense to the content of what George Carlin was saying. And she came up onto the stage to inform him that she did not appreciate the type of language and what he was saying. And because he was a pro, I remember, you know, she eventually got taken off the stage. I think police kind of came up and ushered her off. And he made some sort of joke like, "Mom, I told you to stay in the truck," or something like that. But I can tell you, and again, we were all on high alert at the moment because it was just after 9/11. But everybody, you could have heard the pin drop when this woman comes walking in, because we're at a public event and something like that happens. Now, people didn't have that reaction last night. I'm using an extreme point right now, and I get it. Again, it's not an apples to apples thing, but it is really uncomfortable and it's really disconcerting when something like that happens and you're in attendance and all of a sudden things that are not supposed to be happening start happening. I can remember broadcasting a AAA baseball game once. I was the broadcaster in Colorado Springs for a while for their AAA team that doesn't exist anymore. And some family was there, and a dad had a few pops too many, and he told his daughter to walk onto the field in the middle of the game to go to the on-deck circle and start dancing. So middle of the baseball game, this girl walks onto the field, goes to the on-deck circle, and just starts dancing. And it's nothing in the moment, but when something like that happens, like, it's not funny, it's not amusing, nobody knows what's going on, and it's very uncomfortable. So I don't know what people were thinking last night when the fake Uber Eats guy came onto the floor acting like he was looking to deliver food because somebody was trying to make a video go viral. But that stuff's really uncomfortable. I did not like watching that. When I saw the video of it, I did not find it amusing whatsoever. And you know, Duquesne made the statement about, you know, they rely on common courtesy and the civility. Like, it's a Duquesne basketball game. You're not going to bring in 150 police officers and block off every... You go to, like, a SLU basketball game, if you really want to walk onto the floor, you can probably get there. Like, they've got security and things, but there's very few sports venues where you can't find a way to get down if you really want to. Like, they're not exactly high-security targets, if that makes any sense. So that was uncomfortable, and it's just a reminder of the world that we're living in right now where, I don't know if you're like I get on Facebook or something, and those Facebook reels pop up, and it's just stupid videos, and you get caught in them. You're, like, watching one after another after another after another, and then you look inwardly, and you go, I am contributing to the overall downfall of society because people are making these stupid videos, and then people are watching them, and now they're just going to keep being made. That's my take on society here for the moment. All right, that is it for this edition of Sports Open Line. That's it for Sports Open Line for the week. SLU basketball coming up tomorrow evening. They've got Davidson. That game's going to start at 6 o'clock. Our coverage at just after 5:45. Monica Adams has you for At Your Service. How about that? She's going to be with you until 10 o'clock. She comes your way immediately following the news, which starts in about 4 minutes right here on KMOX.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.